Hello and welcome to another episode of the Oil Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Mini, and my ears just got blown away.
What blew your ears away? The producers.
The volume was so loud.
We have to speak to them after this. Can't have this. Can't have this, guys. Gotta be professional. I think I
lost a couple of those little hair finger things in my eardrums.
Little follicles, yeah. I know exactly so
follicles,
what.
Is that what they call? They're called follicles.
It's
really?
Hairs. It's hairs. Hairs in the ear.
What are the things called in your ears?
The feelers. The feelers. The sound feelers.
Hairs in your ears. It is called stereocilia.
Stereocilia,
I think if I'm pronouncing that right, is the hair-like projections that react to your cochlear fluid movement. There are two kinds of hair cells, inner hair cells and outer hair cells. The inner hair cells are most responsible for louder sounds, and the outer hair cells are most responsible for softer sounds. I think I just lost some stereocilia, Reino.
Which is the part which makes you know where you, like your balance. Is that still, is that deep in the ear or is
that's
it still?
The fluid that
you just mentioned.
I think so. Yeah.
The more you know, so we're diverting.
Cochlear fluid movement.
We're diversifying the podcast, which is, you know, this is good. What are we talking about today, George?
Let me get there after my ears were blown away.
It kind of scrambled away.
So hybrid versus electric, or how hybrid or electric, should I say? Which one do we choose?
Yeah.
What do we go for in South Africa nowadays? Which one's the better one to go for given load shedding?
We have data to back it up. So I think we'll base it off of what consumers are saying. I think that's fair.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And well, then we've got to talk about the differences between the two.
For sure. And we'll also be talking about the top sold cars in January. The year just started, so it's good to see what's kind of winning. And I don't know if you know this, but the Johannesburg speed cameras are back online.
I believe so.
I didn't even know they were off.
Yeah. I mean, something about the maintenance contract, I think.
Yeah, there was a contract that we'll get into it, but essentially contract lapsed. So we'll get into those details. Then Zimbabwe has just banned the export of raw lithium.
I think this is not a bad thing. It depends on how they execute this, really.
100%. Yeah. But we last year when we went to, I think it was Festival of Motoring, one of the big highlights was we need to stop giving out the raw material and start producing more of the final products here. So let's see where that goes. But let's start with, before we get into the first topic, did you see any other F1 cars that have all been released so far in terms of first look?
No, the livery, no. I haven't seen any, actually. I'm not really too interested in the new...
You want to see the cars in action and then
liveries and, Formula One is about racing.
Yeah.
Although the cars do look beautiful.
Yeah.
See them on the race day.
So last year was complete domination by Red Bull.
In terms of race. Yeah.
But in terms of speed, Ferrari was easily the fastest car, the best design in terms of...
Yes, I think you're right. But yeah. I mean, my opinion will still remain. I think Ferrari had the best overall package.
Yes.
And could have won the championship. They stuffed it up in the strategy.
100%.
That's my personal opinion.
In the livery, and sometimes you do see some hidden details in terms of when the liveries are released, but you do get to analyze some of the features in the cars. And one of the things that have come up the most this year... It's just how close everyone's going towards what last year's Red Bull and Ferrari looked like. Some teams have just merged everything together in terms of, you know, some of the features. Mm. Others are stealing from one and leaving the other. But Aston Martin, I think their car was the closest in terms of having both. Mm. So I want to see how they do. But we saw them try that last year and they failed. So,
yeah, I mean, like I've been saying for a while, like I'm going to come out with which team I'm supporting this year.
Mm.
And I'm still going to tell you who it is.
Mm-hmm. Don't say it yet, though.
No. Yeah. We'll do it just before the first race. But, Red Bull, in my opinion, as good as they are, they're not a car maker.
Yeah, I think
and
that
I
seems...
find it difficult. I find it difficult to...
To rally behind
justify
them.
Their existence.
Specifically in the grid, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. As a sponsor, brilliant.
Yeah.
But they're not a car.
Yeah.
And
they just signed a deal now, I think, with Ford. So they're going to be the look at that, like, manufacturer for the engine.
How many different manufacturers' engines have they had in there?
Yeah, quite a few.
Exactly.
Over the years, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, good on Red Bull. I think they've done a brilliant job. Mm. I just battle to justify their existence in F1 based on the fact that they don't actually make a car.
Mm. Ferrari is, their livery comes out today, so we'll get to see that.
Okay.
I'm excited to see what they have in store. I think Mercedes is tomorrow. So, yeah.
It's so, I mean, you can imagine, that, you know, Aston Martin, McLaren, they all learn stuff in Formula One and then it ends up in the road cars, right? Mm. All that technology ends up in the road cars. Where does Red Bull's end up? In a can?
A brand new can. The fastest can in the world.
Who knows? Speed to open.
A can with DRS, who knows? You know, gets in your throat faster. Okay, well, moving on. Hybrid versus electric. So last year, in 2022, we saw that there was a 156% increase in searches for EVs and a 44% increase for hybrids. So it's fair to say that these cars are becoming extremely popular. A lot of people know them now. They understand the technology a little bit better. And we do have a hybrid report that's going to be coming out later in the month. Mm. And which was extremely, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but for me, it was extremely shocking to see some of those insights. But I thought maybe coming into the new year, and because everyone's kind of is excited about these, maybe we can just talk about some of, you know, the pros, cons, and what should you choose now that these cars are so readily available and much cheaper than they used to be.
Mm. So, I mean, let's just kind of like describe what a hybrid vehicle is.
Okay. So there's, yeah, I mean, there's different types of hybrid cars, right? That's something that...
Yes, but in general, what is a hybrid vehicle? Hybrid vehicle is something that uses electricity, mm-hmm. has batteries, mm-hmm. And electric motors, mm-hmm. in conjunction with an engine in the car. Now, whether the engine drives the wheels or whether the electric motors drive the wheels is dependent on the technology. And yeah. as technology is advancing, in most cases now, the electric motors drive the wheels and the engine supplements that.
Mm, 100%. So that's a different type of hybrid.
Mm.
But ultimately, it's, you know, kind of fundamentally, it's electric energy plus an internal combustion engine coming together.
Yes, it's like having a generator in your car.
100%. And the biggest advantage of that is efficiency. That's the kind of the benefits of a hybrid vehicle. What about a battery electric vehicle? What's the big difference there?
Well, there's no engine. There's no internal combustion engine, right?
Yeah.
So one of the biggest energy losses with the internal combustion engine vehicle is the heat loss and the energy loss as a result of the pistons having to turn in a certain direction, or should I say upward and downward motion, having to go and change that into a circular motion and then drive gears and prop shafts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then eventually that energy gets to the wheel. So there's this loss of energy through that process.
Yeah. Okay. Thousands of moving parts.
2,000 moving parts ultimately. Yeah. Okay. And I heard the other day that an aircraft has like 200,000 moving parts or something.
Wow, yeah.
So something ridiculous. Anyway, so about 2,000 moving parts in an internal combustion engine vehicle. So lots to go wrong.
Yeah.
Lots that can go wrong. They've perfected it over 100 years to a large degree. I mean, most vehicles don't break nowadays very easily unless they get very old. And on the flip side, 10% of those moving parts in an electric vehicle, battery electric, because there's just an electric motor, maybe a gearbox in the case of a Taycan.
Yeah,
there's two gears or three gears. And but that's it.
Mm.
Everything else is electric.
Mm.
And then maybe you've got the windscreen wipers and, you know, other things like, you know, seat adjustments and doors that have to move. And, you know, so you've got 200 moving parts there. But the vast majority of the energy loss doesn't exist because the energy from the battery, which is the fuel tank, directly on the motors, which is directly connected to the wheels.
But in terms of another big difference is hybrid, you put in petrol or diesel.
Yes, because it's got an internal combustion engine in it.
Whereas the electric vehicle, battery charge. Electric at least, is just pure.
And you get the plug-in hybrids as well, which I think the plug-in hybrid is kind of a sensible route to go if you're not entirely convinced.
Mm. Mm.
Go for a plug-in hybrid because you can use the electric drivetrain of the car only to do things like going to the shop, school runs, And if you've got a long distance travel, the internal combustion engine vehicle, or should I say engine, kicks in.
So let's talk about outside of just so that's fundamentally the how it operates, those two different types of vehicles, the hybrids and the electric. But there are other differences as well. And one of the big ones that has been spotlighted by our surveys that we've done is price, right? So in some cases with hybrid vehicles, the difference between the fully electric, the fully internal combustion engine version versus its hybrid counterpart, it's less than 30,000 rand in some cases.
Well, and there's a one fundamental reason for that.
Yeah.
Battery.
The size of the battery.
The size of the battery. So hybrid vehicles don't have a very big battery.
Yeah.
They've got a battery that, you know, just is for...
The range is about
100Ks.
90Ks or something, 90, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, for instance, like my Jaguar I-Pace, mm-hmm. the range is over 300 kilometers. Mm. You need a huge battery for that. And therein lies the cost increase, is the battery.
Yeah. So on the flip side, with an electric vehicle, it's, you know, upwards, it's a few hundred thousand difference between its counterparts. So you've been driving an electric vehicle. Before we get into the pros and cons of a hybrid, I think maybe let's start with EVs. What are the biggest drawbacks that you've seen versus having an internal counterpart?
The only drawback?
Mm. Well, some of them, if there is any.
No, there's only one drawback.
Okay, there's only one drawback. Outside of price.
Outside of price, yes. Yeah. Outside of price, the only one drawback is road trips, long distance driving. Mm-hmm. It takes you probably 20% longer.
And I mean, you've been driving for a year now. In terms of the charging infrastructure,
no, that's fine.
Really, no problem
nothing,
there.
Nothing, nothing. I mean, we've been having load shedding now consistently, yeah. and it's expected that load shedding will continue, you know, into the end of 2024.
Yeah.
And charging your car overnight is not impacted by load shedding.
Okay, so you haven't seen any significant
no. No. And people say, oh, but you've got solar and, you know, off-grid solution. That only works in the day, not in the night.
Mm.
And if I'm coming to the office here, my car's not standing at home in the day. Like now, it's been raining for the last week, which means my solar is only generating 30, 40% of its capacity.
Yeah.
Right? Which means I'm reliant on Eskom to a large degree over this rainy period.
Yeah.
And my car is fully charging off Eskom. And for the last three nights, I've been plugging in at night and I've had no problem. Yes, it's been one to two sessions of load shedding overnight, but my car's only needed between 2 and 4 hours of charge.
Yeah.
I drove here this morning.
Work and just charge here even.
And it was 100% when I left home.
Go to the mall, there's no problems. You've never found like, oh, geez, I'm on the side of the road right now. Like, what am I going to do?
No. So this was end of last year, I think it was. My car ended up, I forgot to put it on charge one night.
Mm.
My stupidity. Forgot to put it on charge. And the next morning I woke up and the car was on like 40%. And I needed to go to the other end of Boksburg and back and then do another errand. And I calculated that 40% wouldn't be enough for me to do all of that. And it was load shedding. I couldn't charge my car at home.
Yeah.
On top of that, because it charges at 7.4 kilowatts per hour, and I woke up on that Saturday morning and it was on 40%, in order to get to 100% would need approximately about 6 hours of charging.
Okay. This is not a like a normal
plug.
It's
not a DC.
This is, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. This is a
proper charging.
A home charger, station, yeah. Okay. 7.4 kilowatts per hour. You know, so it would take 6 or 7 hours to charge and I wasn't going to wait the whole day. I needed to do stuff.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
And it was load shedding. So there was no power. I couldn't charge my car anyway.
Yeah.
Because there was no electricity that I could charge with. And if I recall, that day was rainy. So I couldn't use, the solar batteries weren't charged and there wasn't enough energy being created by the solar panels in order to charge the car.
Mm.
So I had to find a different solution. So
what did you do?
Boksburg didn't have load shedding at the time that I had load shedding.
So you can just charge in Boksburg.
So I went to East Rand Mall.
Yeah.
There's a DC charger there.
Yeah.
Plugged in 60 kilowatts.
Much faster as well.
1 hour. I had a cup of coffee and I did my errands for the rest of the day and my car was fine.
Okay. So basically it's the only drawback you're saying is
planning.
It's just planning and managing.
But it's the same as fuel. I mean, like if you know you're going to go somewhere, you're going to fill your car.
Yeah.
Right.
100%.
Although I suppose the benefit is you can drive out of your house to a filling station, fill up and leave.
Yeah.
You know, so with an EV is a little bit more planning.
Biggest drawbacks for hybrids that people have highlighted is really just you still have to spend money in terms of buying petrol.
Depends on how you drive a car if it's a plug-in.
100%. And another one which we found is not actually that big of a barrier anymore is this idea that EVs and hybrids are like this green, you know, sort of solution to the world.
I've never said that I bought the car as
for
that being the primary reason. Being a secondary reason, yes, love it. Absolutely love that it's doing its part.
Yeah.
But we all know that it takes about a few hundred thousand kilometers, 7 years for an EV to become carbon neutral with an internal combustion engine vehicle. But in the long run over the life of the vehicle, it is more efficient. It's much cleaner. But out of the gate to produce that car kind of front loads the carbon.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the downside, is it front loads the carbon. So if we can come up with a different battery solution, then you know, problem solved.
Yeah. But I mean, lithium it's the best kind of.
Well, for now.
For now, yeah. So what are you choosing? I think really the ultimate thing to say there is it just depends on like what is your situation. But hybrids, from an entry point of view in terms of the capital, is always going to be a lot better.
If we look at it from a different perspective,
yeah,
the world is going this way. Mm-hmm. There's no two fours about it. Mm. You know, the world is going electric. Mm. BEVs are going to be the world of the future. Mm. And so you could delay that, mm-hmm. drive ICE for as long as you can, pay the fuel cost. But eventually we will all be electric.
At some point, yeah.
And battery technology will improve.
And get cheaper and get cleaner.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're sitting in a situation where...
Choose now.
Choose now. Today's world is the way it's going to be. It's not the way. That's not the case. Yeah. You can't tell me that battery technology is... Somebody's going to come up with some... Some fancy scientist is going to come up with something that stores energy better than lithium.
Yeah. Tony Stark, where are you? It's your time. So that's what we got to do. Moving on. So January just started. And last year we saw that every single month there was a double-digit year-on-year increase in terms of cars being sold. Fortunately, coming into January, and you made this prediction when we spoke earlier that this trend is going to carry on going in terms of people still buying cars. That's never going to stop.
Yeah, it doesn't stop, especially in South Africa. But worldwide, it doesn't stop.
Yeah. So, you know, despite the fuel price interest rates also increasing, there was a 5% increase in January. So the good news is people are still buying cars. And I think, you know, it was a bit surprised to me in terms of that's going to carry on happening. But South Africans just love buying cars. I don't know what it is. We just love cars. So top 10 best.
I mean, the reasons for that is it creates independence.
Yeah.
It gives you mobility, gets you get places. All the things that have been happening for hundreds of years, whether it be horses, carriages, people, walking is just not efficient.
Did you watch Day of the Nation? Well, I might say, I promise you, still part of the topic.
I can't believe you just asked me that question.
The point is Day of the Nation.
No.
Well, the president said that the economy is still growing. So regardless of everything that's happening, it does seem to show that people do have income. It's not like people are losing money or losing their income. So I think the trend does follow the economic performance, at least. So there is some positives that have come out of the State of the Nation address. But the top five selling cars was the Hilux. No surprise there.
Yeah, I mean, before we get to the top selling cars, the reality is only under 20% of the world owns a car.
Mm.
Okay, so if you think about, there are 7.5 billion people on the planet.
I'm seeing 8 billion now.
Is it 8 billion? Mm. So times, let's call it like optimistically 0.2. That means only 1.6 billion people have cars.
Mm.
Right? 1.6 billion people have cars, under 20%. And that's probably optimistic because, you know, based on the number of cars in the world, many, many households have two cars. Mm. So if you take it from a household point of view, the number's probably even lower. Mm. And if you have a market share of teens, 16, 18, 20%, there's room for growth.
100%.
So the top of car sales is not. I mean, in South Africa, it's probably even lower.
I think it would be higher. I think more people in South Africa have cars than 20%.
No.
I think it's lower than that?
No. Look at the divide.
I'm talking about like obviously like older than 18 years old, people who are eligible to drive.
No. Look at the poverty gap in South Africa.
Yeah.
You know, that alone tells me. Look at how many people use public transport in terms of minibus taxis. Mm. You know, if you had kind of how many people fit in a minibus taxi? 12.
16?
Well, it depends.
depends on the driver.
Like if every one of those, what the hell's going on with this thing? If every one of those people had a car.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
You know, our car population would be a lot bigger. Look at it this way.
Yeah.
In South Africa, at any one time on autotrader.co.za, right? Mm-hmm. 70 to 80,000 cars for sale, right? Just kind of that's publicly facing data.
Yeah.
In the UK, same population, 55 million people.
130,000 or something.
450,000
cars.
Yes.
Wow.
So 5x.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of number of cars available for sale.
Yeah.
So you can see there already, we're probably five times smaller in terms of population. I don't know what the number is, and maybe we should go do some.
I'm sure
some
the
checking.
Editor's going to, you know. If I'm wrong, they'll put the number up somewhere and make a fool out of me.
So I think there's lots of room for growth. And, you know, it's just we've got to get the right product for the right market segments.
100%. So
and Hilux, get the economy growing.
Yes. According to our president, it's growing. I trust. So Hilux is still number one. But second place, Corolla Cross. That's a surprise to me.
It's not a surprise to me. Given how this thing got out the gates.
Yeah. Sold out immediately.
It was unbelievable. And, you know, it's actually got to the top of the list faster than the Haval.
Yes, the Haval actually dropped. It's now sitting at 17. So I think the biggest problem that Haval had was Toyota coming with
the Cross.
With the Cross, mm. Yeah. People just trust the brand.
Well, I mean, look at the Cross. What is it? What is the price of that thing? It's under 500,000 Rand.
It is.
Mm. Under 500. So it's in the sweet spot of getting to scale. Mm-hmm. It's a hybrid, so it's lighter on fuel.
Yeah.
It's a Toyota, so it is perceived as reliable.
Exactly.
It's got all the makings.
All the ingredients.
All the ingredients of a successful
car. But a South African is as a Toyota can be.
All the Toyota needs to do is take the engine out of it.
Yeah. So that list, maybe we'll share the list. But, you know, top five, Corolla Cross, Starlet came in third. Pretty small hatch. Suzuki Swift.
Not surprising. Suzuki Swift. Suzuki's done such a phenomenal
job.
They've
done a great job. Yeah,
every second car I'm seeing on the road is a Suzuki.
100%. And then the Suzuki D-Max coming in for the Bucky fans.
What was surprising to me is the Polo and Polo Vivo at 8th and 9th.
Yes. Yeah.
It sucks. Slipped.
It's slowly losing its, you know.
Don't know. I mean, who knows? It might come back with the ID4.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Moving on, so I don't know if you knew this, or, you know, kind of opened with this, but I didn't know that the cameras in South Africa were, in Joburg were not working. A lot of opportunities lost there.
I can't believe you just said that. Opportunities lost here. Promoting speeding.
No, don't speed. This is
the opportunity cost of speeding is landing in jail.
Yeah, don't. I take that back. Don't speed. But yeah, so. For the last year, since May 2021 is the official number, basically the contract for the cameras had lapsed. And we're trying to find a solution as a region to kind of, you know, get those working again.
Pay the supplier.
And finally, yeah, paying the supplier. Well, getting the funds and the right supplier ultimately. So there's a new supplier now that's already kind of implemented them. So now every single traffic camera in Joburg, if you're in Joburg, is back online. So anytime you're trying to cheat the system, you can't do that anymore. And relied mostly on the traffic cops. Mm. So that's not very efficient. Then last but not least, Zimbabwe has banned the export of raw lithium.
I think the principle here is good.
Yeah.
You know, one of the worst things that Africa is doing is exporting raw materials. Because we're re-importing them. Mm. Actually, we're not even assembling them in South Africa. Yeah. We're re-importing the finished product.
Yeah.
So there's probably a whole value chain there that we're losing out on.
Exactly.
So the idea is a good one. How they execute it is going to, you know, either be their demise or success.
For a little bit of context of this, I do have a chart to kind of talk about, you know, how big that is for the Zimbabwean market. If the producers can just put it on the screen, that would be very helpful. Thank you very much. So Zimbabwe is actually one of the top, what's it called, countries in terms of reserves of lithium ion. And I think in Africa, they're the biggest. So this is big for them. And I think they make up about 1% of the total global, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot.
No, no. I mean, it's a good opportunity. It's a brilliant opportunity. I mean, if they beat Brazil, Portugal, the US,
yep.
You know, we can't really count China, Argentina, Australia, Chile. Look how big those land masses are.
Yeah. I think Chile alone was about 50% of the entire global. That's one country out of, what, 256 or something, 196?
Mm.
So for Zimbabwe, this could be a massive, massive value chain creator in their markets. And the GDP is, I'm sure, is going to benefit from this a lot.
Well, it depends on how they execute, so.
Of course. Execution is key. The last 10%, as my manager always says. and that's pretty much all we have time for today, George.
Good show. I enjoyed the hybrid electric discussion.
Of course. Next week, we're going full ice. Full V8, V12, who knows?
Search Auto Trader.